Fred Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 FIAF conference, and Il Cinema Ritrovato is on in Bologna here in a few days. But right now, I'm very pleased to be joined by the CEO of iFilm Museum, Sandra Denhammer. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, a simple question to start off the interview. Could you briefly tell our listeners what I is?
I is a museum for a cinema. It's also the National Film Institute in the Netherlands. And we are housed in a beautiful building. We opened 4 years ago. We exist 70 years. We built the archive. We have 40,000 films in collection. But since 4 years, we have a very beautiful museum building designed by Austrian architects. And in the museum building, which is actually free to visit. Our permanent exhibition is for free. The building is for free. Only if you go into one of the four cinemas, you have to buy a ticket. And we have temporary exhibitions. And our exhibitions are either dedicated to the big filmmakers like Fellini, Kubrick, we did Antonioni, or historic exhibitions, like we made a beautiful exhibition based on our Desmet collection, which is one of the oldest early cinema collections, which is very complete. Or, very interesting and very popular, we make exhibitions on the crossover between cinema and visual art. So last year we had William Kentridge, who is a filmmaker, artist from South Africa. He makes this beautiful drawings, animation, big installation. And that was actually very popular. So we also try to work on the question how you expose cinema. You can do it on the screen, you can do it on your tablet, you can do it in gallery spaces.
Mm-hmm. Taking into consideration all of kind of the visual arts more than just cinema in the traditional sense. While we're on the subject of exhibitions, is there any current exhibitions right now?
Yes, we have an exhibition dedicated to the work of Robbie Müller, who was the director of photography for Wim Wenders, Jim Jarmusch, Lars von Trier. He made an installation with Steve McQueen. And we tried in the exhibition really to show what the work of a director of photography is, what the influence of a cameraman is in film. And actually, so we cut the most beautiful scenes from Down by Law or Paris, Texas or Breaking the Waves. And we also we interviewed the directors who explained what the importance of Robbie Müller was for their work. And we had access to his private archive. He never left the house without three cameras. So he has lots of Polaroids that he never exposed to anyone. But in the Polaroids, you can already see how he works with the light. Actually, about him, it's said that he's not using the light to show the scene, but he's using the scene to show the light. It's
that's
beautiful.
Incredible. Wow, that sounds really interesting. And what about the permanent exhibition? I take it it's things that come directly from the archive?
Yes, and in the permanent exhibition, it's a mixture of... We have a permanent installation of some of the pre-cinema objects. So it starts with, for instance, the magic lantern, but it ends with a smartphone. So if we have to explain to children how you make moving images, we start with a smartphone because that they understand. They are all filmmakers. And then you go backwards. You show them the first cameras, you show them the pre-cinema, the zoetrope, and then the magic lantern. And
it's quite original, going backwards instead of forwards.
Yeah. No, because that's work. It's immediately then. And also there we have what we call our digital Wunderkammer, our treasure room, where you see moving images all around you, and then there are consoles, and you can activate a part of the wall, and you can point at some of the fragments, and then it shows you on your console what you are seeing. And then people in private viewing cabins, you can see the whole film. And in programming, what we run in the cinemas is classic films, cinema concerts, retrospectives. But also we have one festival a month, almost, and contemporary art film.
Oh, wow. That's interesting what you said about the actual layout of the exhibition. It makes me think that You are looking at film education as well, and maybe audience development, and you know, really promoting cultural, the cultural patrimonial cinema.
Yes, absolutely. It's actually one of our core business. We see it, education, and we do that by teaching children in school how to make films, because they're all a filmmaker, and by teaching them how to make a film, they appreciate, they get to learn what it is to make camera movements, what editing, what music adds to moving images. But we also involve them in programming. So we have young people, young curators who are still studying or in university or in high schools. We ask them, so what kind of films would you like and how would you program them? And so it's really important not only to tell them, but to involve them.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that always kind of interests me, because sometimes cinema is sort of treated like a second-hand art. For us, of course, it's not true. You know, it's kind of crazy to think that. But do you find that that is the case, that sometimes cinema gets treated like something that is a step below other art forms like literature and...
Yeah, but on the other hand, I think that's one of the interesting points of cinema. It's between art and entertainment. Mm-hmm. For instance, this summer we have a retrospective of Steven Spielberg, mm-hmm. and his films, of course, reached millions of people.
Yeah.
And I think also, and probably everybody would categorize them in entertainment, but I think what he really does is the art of telling a story. So we have a broad perspective on what cinema is. It's not, and also we don't like sort of categories, or say this is only cinema, this is high art, this is low art, and we look at from avant-garde to Hollywood films.
Yeah, yeah, wider scope. Yeah, actually, that should be part of it. Actually, there's different types of cinema, and you can enjoy them all. Back to the archive now. You said how many titles are approximately?
We have 40,000 films in collection, and so that's ranging from indeed short films, fragments, documentaries, feature films. We have, as an archive, the legal task to all the films that are made in the Netherlands are in our archive, and also all the new films. So if a film is made before it's even shown in the cinemas, it's already in our collection. And apart from the archival task, we as a museum, for what we think is art, we collect. So we collect the most beautiful or most important films from either the past or from contemporary art cinema from other countries.
Yeah, internationally, yeah. And do you also, do you have some sort of a focus on newer films? Because sometimes people don't realize that new films need to be archived as well.
Yeah. Well, and actually that's a lot of work, because all these films are digital born nowadays, and in the past filmmakers would come and bring a print, so it's a physical thing. You have the print, you put it in the shelf, you put the temperature low, and you can save it for years. Mm-hmm. Now it's digital files, and you have to migrate them all the time. And now we are very much involved in what's happening now. Also, not only because we want to collect all these films, but also because we want to show them in 10 years' time. Sometimes because many of the films have a very short life cycle, especially now with so many films on the market. There are art films or Dutch films even. They are in the cinemas for 2 weeks and then they are gone.
Yeah, that's true. What about, that kind of raises the question, the process of digitization, what are your overall views on it? And
well, we digitized 20% of our collection is digital, and we have a digital lab ourselves, so we can scan films, but we do more or less do it now on demand. So we did a very large project digitizing the most important films, or the films that were urgent because the material was disappearing or dissolving.
Yeah.
And now we digitize when we need it for presentation, for exhibition, education, research. So it's important to have films on digital formats, because you cannot show them otherwise. All the cinemas in the Netherlands, apart from our cinemas, are digital. We have digital projectors, but also 70mm, 35. We can show all the formats.
That's something else that people don't talk about. That's also kind of fading away. The projection, the projectionist that can actually show these films without damaging the copies. That could be another kind of risk.
Yeah, well, it's actually something we should train people on. Mm. And we did this year, we showed The Hateful Eight, Quentin Tarantino, on 70mm. And it was a hit. It was really a hit. It was the best-selling film we had in 4 years in our cinemas.
It goes to show, that's right. And it was a spectacle. I saw it in 70mm too. It was definitely worth it. In terms of the future, any upcoming projects for I that you would like to talk about?
For us, it's very important because we have now the museum building, and we are very happy with the attention from the public and the good reviews in the press on our exhibitions. But for us, it was also important to have a good new vaults and a new collection center, and that we will open in September at the same time, same day that we open in the exhibition space, a new exhibition dedicated to celluloid, but then to contemporary artists that work with celluloid as their source of material.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, thank you very much for talking with us about it. It was a great pleasure, and I wish you all the best with it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.